Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Friday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are here together for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time. Donnie Wrightside, this might be the final weekend in sports for this season in both the NBA and the National Hockey League. Stanley Cup postseason, Stanley Cup final, game number 3 last night in Edmonton, and the Panthers are up 3-0. The Celtics are up 3-0 as well, ahead of game number 4 of the 2024 NBA Finals tonight in Dallas. Are we going to see sweeps in both? Maybe, just maybe. We'll talk about it here over these 3 hours. A recap of Game 3 in the Stanley Cup Final. A preview of Game 4 tonight in the NBA Finals. We'll go around a Thursday in Major League Baseball, setting the weekend stage. A triple header of WNBA action on a Thursday night as well. And big money being dished out around the National Football League at the quarterback position. All of that over these 3 hours on the Early Line.
Topics, topics, and more topics, and already underway on a glorious morning, it looks like, down at Pinehurst for round number 2 of the U.S. Open. So we are digging our teeth into so many different sports, and quite frankly, you're right, the NHL, the NBA, you better start learning XFIT, buddy, as they like to say, because we're close to the majority of the content coming for baseball season. Let's go, baby. Let's do it.
Was that a live verbal meme of the Adam Silver get ready to learn XFIT, baby? That's good stuff, DRS. I like that a lot. And the Men's College World Series starts with a doubleheader of games on this Friday in Omaha, Nebraska. We will look at the CWS as well. We start with looking back on last night in a recap and review of game number 3 at Rogers Place in Edmonton, Alberta. A difficult place to win, unless you're the Florida Panthers, in game number 3. Edmonton did even things up early in the second after the Panthers scored first to get the scoring started. But then Florida had a 4-1 lead by the time we reached the third period. The Oilers did make it exciting and in the final few minutes tested Sergei Bobrovsky and that vaunted Florida defense. But ultimately, the Panthers prevail and take a 3-0 series advantage, 4-3 the final. Florida wins outright as a +114 money line underdog. First game in this series where the total does go over 5.5.
Yeah, had a couple of points there from McDavid, but certainly wasn't enough. And the question marks floating around the past couple of days was Barkov going to be in that lineup for the Florida Panthers? And he was. And he scored, and he had an assist, and had a +2 night there. That's what your superstars are supposed to do. But also, from an Oilers perspective, all that momentum in the building. You get down 1-0. Okay, it's close in the second period. You just give the game away here. It just clearly looks like the better team is the Florida Panthers from top to bottom, from front line to defense to goalie. It's just working in their favor. It's 0-3. Have teams come back in the NHL from 0-3? Yes, they have. Does it look like that's going to happen in this series? No, it certainly does not. So in dire straits are the Edmonton Oilers. Maybe they can give their fans something to cheer for in game 4 just to at least give them a win here.
In fact, we have seen a team overcome an 0-3 deficit even in the Stanley Cup final. 1942, the Toronto Maple Leafs came back. It feels like that was the last time a Canadian team won the Cup. Edmonton trying to do that, but Florida up 3-0. The Panthers one victory away from their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. Now we go around the National Football League. We were waiting for a quarterback extension this offseason. With the market being reset at the non-QB spots, like in the wide receiver market by Justin Jefferson just a week ago, Trevor Lawrence gets his new deal in Jacksonville. About to enter year number 4 of his NFL career, he signs a 5-year, $275 million extension. That's $55 million per year, tying him with Joe Burrow as the highest paid player in the history of the National Football League.
This is just the way it goes around. And if you're an organization that figures you're going to wait on your starting quarterback to get a better deal later, you are certainly mistaken. That price is only going to go higher. So if we look at guys like Dak Prescott right now, who absolutely is holding the Dallas Cowboys hostage at this point, because they were always talking on that timeline, later, 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 prove it, prove it, prove it. But also, it doesn't matter if you prove it. What has Trevor Lawrence proven in the NFL right now? Looks like a good, solid young quarterback. Hasn't won anything, and yet he's getting $55 million a year. Again, word to the wise NFL owners, if you're listening. The minute a contract is able to be done on a player you think is going to be your franchise guy, sign him immediately. It only saves money, Ben.
The price of the brick is going up, and if you look at this deal for Trevor Lawrence, like last year around this time for Joe Burrow, it is averaged out over the final 2 years of their much lesser value rookie contract. So it does make sense from a fiscal perspective. Trevor Lawrence gets that bag, $200 million guaranteed. Joe Burrow's, by the way, $219.01 million, so a little bit more guaranteed money for Joey B than Trevor Lawrence. Now we await on the deals of Tua Tagovailoa, Dak Prescott, as Donnie mentioned, maybe even Jordan Love, and what the market will say for them at the QB spot. The Royals avoid a 4-game sweep at home this week at Kauffman against the New York Yankees. Bottom of the ninth, down by a run. Clay Holmes on the bump for the Yanks. Mikel Garcia shoots one down the left field line and into the corner. A 2-RBI double to walk it off for Kansas City. Finally, the Royals get to win number 40, something that took them until August 18th, just a season ago.
Yeah, I was watching this game with the hopes that some guys would get some RBI shots here, but not only RBI shots for the Yankees on a beautiful day in Kansas City. How about just get a base hit or two at this point? Because Alec Marsh, who's been really struggling over his past couple starts, turned into Cy Marsh yesterday, but it still wasn't enough early on. Because why? The Yankees took the lead in the eighth inning, only to lose it in the ninth inning. That's a good win for the Kansas City Royals. No shame in the Yankees game. You can't win every game, particularly on the road against quality opponents. But I feel like that was one they felt like they were stealing because they hadn't done anything for 7 innings, only to end up losing that game 4-3 in the end.
Let's go around the WNBA. 3 games last night. The Indiana Fever get home win number 2 in Indianapolis this year, 91-84, outright as a 2.5-point dog against the Atlanta Dream, behind a career night from last year's number 1 overall pick, Aliyah Boston, 27 points, 12 boards. The Las Vegas Aces snap a historically long 3-game skid in their franchise history, 103-99 in a high-scoring affair against the Phoenix Mercury. Asia Wilson, 32 points and 15 boards. In the Seattle Storm, a victory on the road in Dallas, 92-84.
Yeah, the Fever do win and cover at home as a slight underdog. How about Boston, 27-13? And maybe the coach got through to the team here, getting angry in that last game. They show up with a win. That shows that the coach still has the ear of the team, and that could be a good sign. But also the Aces and the Mercury. I believe the Mercury did cover that game, being underdogs at home. And by the way, Brittany Griner, only a couple games back, 25-9. So starting to play some good basketball. But a good night in the WNBA last night for sure.
Total was lofty, 170 in Phoenix. They go way over between the Aces and the Mercury. Jackie Young, by the way, 34 points for Vegas. Round number 1 of the 2024 U.S. Open at Pinehurst now in the books. Round number 2 already underway, where the round 1 co-leader, Rory McIlroy, is on the course after a 5-under par 65. Rory looking for his first major title in a decade.
And by the way, shout out watching golf in the morning on TV in a major tournament. Beautiful. And not waiting until like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. I will never understand the way that happens. Make me the PGA Tour, you know, commissioner here, even though technically it's not a PGA Tour event. We'll make this adjustment for every tournament out here, Ben.
And yesterday in Douglas County Court in Kansas, former Illinois basketball star Terrence Shannon Jr. has been cleared and found not guilty of rape and not guilty of aggravated sexual battery. He should hear his name called in the NBA draft in just about 2 weeks. And Conor McGregor's return to the octagon now on the sideline after an injury. We go around Major League Baseball next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A four-game sweep at stake yesterday in Kansas City, part of an 11-game sweep. A Thursday around Major League Baseball. Often, as we shared yesterday, Thursday slates in MLB, not all that awesome because there's not all that many games. So yesterday, rather robust with 11, including that finale inside Kauffman Stadium, Kansas City, trying to get a win over the New York Yankees at home. And it seemed as though they were going to be swept in four games. Clay Holmes on the bump for New York in the home half of the ninth, looking for a save. That's always a recipe for success for the Pinstripes. Mikel Garcia had other ideas for the Royals. A two RBI double to walk it off inside Kauffman as KC avoids the sweep. They win 4-3. That's win number 40. For Kansas City on June the 13th. It took them until August the 18th, a season ago, to reach the 40-win benchmark.
Yeah, but the Pasquatch in there, too, getting that big base hit here with two RBIs, certainly helping that problem. And then Garcia, the two RBIs as well. The one guy you can always count on, I didn't get an RBI yesterday, Bobby Witt again, on base three times, 2-for-3 at the plate, now hitting .330 on the season. He's been nothing short of sensational. But also, I got to admit this, watching this game in the afternoon, I was somewhat surprised, obviously, that the New York Yankees weren't able to get to Marsh. But also, when I watched that eighth inning and saw the Yankees take that 3-2 lead, I figured the game was over. I actually didn't find out that final score until a little later on watching the Phillies game. Like, wow, how about that? Kansas City came back because it was one of those things where 3-2, good bullpen comes in for the Yanks. This game is a wrap. So good fighting effort for Kansas City to avoid that four-game sweep and get their 40th win of the season. But also, take a look at the New York Yankees. We know they're going to hit. Yesterday was the perfect scenario, though. I'm talking mid-80s, wind blowing out against a pitcher that you should be able to dominate. They weren't able to do so, but also on the opposite side, Nestor Cortez with a pretty good pitching performance for the New York Yankees. Seven innings pitched and two earned runs, lowering his ERA to around 3.5. That's pretty solid for him. So good win for the Kansas City Royals, but still some things you could take away from that pitching staff for the Yanks.
Yesterday, the total was 10.5 in Kansas City because of the wind and warm weather, and it does stay under. The Yanks snapped their four-game winning streak. The Royals snapped their four-game losing skid. KC got off to a great start this year, 34-19 near the end of May. They entered yesterday 5-11 over their previous 16 games. So a win the Royals needed to get to 40. The Yankees have still won 12 of their last 14 games. The Yankees are still the best team in baseball. 49-22, the most wins in the majors, the best record in MLB as well. So the Yankees still atop the charts. Minus 430 to win the American League East, the short favorites to win the pennant in the AL as well.
Yeah, and by the way, you have to take a look at this because the Yankees are playing for home field advantage, which, of course, is going to be important come playoff time. But look at their road splits here, 27-12 on the road this year for the Yanks. So obviously doing a lot of damage away from the Bronx here. That can only help you throughout the summer months. Again, you're going to lose games. The key to the ingredients here, if you're a quality baseball team, again, that 27-12 is impressive. But if you can just pick up road victories and series victories on the road, that really helps you. So looking at the Yankees here, they're no fluke at this point. They're getting great pitching. Also, we keep saying this, sooner than later, Gerrit Cole is going to come back to that rotation. We'll see what he has. And if he's phenomenal, like we probably expect, that's going to be a fun rest of the summer to watch for the New York Yankees.
The Yanks, a very heavy favorite, as you saw, in the AL East, minus 430, but only a 2.5-game lead that actually could have been shortened had Baltimore taken care of business yesterday at home against the Atlanta Braves. Instead, the Braves snap a win streak for Baltimore, ending it for the O's at six wins in a row, snapped their own five-game skid with a 6-3 victory as an underdog. Atlanta, an underdog yesterday, ever so slightly, even money, plus 100 on the money line for just the fifth time in this MLB season. They entered yesterday 0-4 as an underdog. They get their first win and got on top early. Marcelo Ozuna, a two-run double in the first inning. 57 ribbies for Ozuna this year, and the Braves never look back.
And by the way, the 9.5 total in this game, rightfully so, because you had pitchers on the mound that you could possibly say could get hit. Now, they scored 9 runs in this game, but take a look at this. 3 of 16 runners in scoring position for the Braves. 1 of 9 for the Baltimore Orioles. You just get an average performance there. You're cruising well over 10 runs in this game. That's why baseball sometimes can be so frustrating. But I'll tell you one thing. If I'm an opposing manager right now, I don't understand what's going on with Ronaldo Lopez right now, who improved to 4-2 on the season, 6 innings pitched, no earned runs. How about an ERA of 1.69 right now for this kid? It's amazing. And I shouldn't say kid. I mean, he's a veteran in Major League Baseball. I didn't expect this, but if you are looking to hang around in baseball and make the playoffs after injuries, you got a couple pitchers there for the Braves that are dealing Cy Young Award winning deals every single game on the mound. That's phenomenal. I didn't see it coming out of Lopez. He's been tremendous for the Braves.
Max Fried wasn't great this week in Baltimore, but he has been steady this year. Reynaldo Lopez has been a revelation after losing Spencer Strider. And Spencer Schwellenbach, pretty good performance just a few days ago on the bump as well. So the Baltimore Orioles have still won 16 of their last 21 games, giving chase to the Yankees in the AL East. 49 wins for New York, 45 for Baltimore. The Yanks, 4 more wins than the O's. 3 more wins than the Phillies for the most in Major League Baseball, because the Phils lose the rubber match yesterday in Fenway in the final 2 games of the midweek set against the Red Sox. I said this yesterday, and I eat some crow here on this Friday morning. Aaron Nola, as only a slight road favorite for the Phils, got roughed up. 8 earned runs, 11 hits allowed. The Red Sox score 4 in the second, 4 more in the fourth. They knock off the Phillies yesterday 9-3.
Yeah, I mean, you're going around with the Philadelphia Phillies, and again, this was a little bit of my worry, and I'm not saying, excuse me, that it's messing with them. Coming back with the jet lag from London, they lose this series to Boston, which they're a better baseball team and had a couple really good pitchers on the mound. But you look at the lineup now with injuries. Kyle Schwarber's hitting 249, which is actually great for him. Nick Castellanos, 215. Bryson Stott was in the cleanup role here. David Dahl, Whit Merrifield, Garrett Stubbs, and Rojas in the rest of that lineup. It's not a good-looking lineup at the plate. Now, granted, Marsh looks like he's probably coming back later in the week, as well as Trey Turner. Those reinforcements will help. JT Realmuto is going to be a couple, weeks at least out at this point. The Phillies now take on the Baltimore Orioles. This is a tough road stretch here for them that they certainly need their pitchers to rescue them, and they didn't get that last night from Aaron Nola at all.
Going to be a great weekend inside Camden Yards. The second and third best records in Major League Baseball. Philadelphia and Baltimore facing off. More around Major League Baseball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
More around Major League Baseball on this Friday morning, recapping what we saw on Thursday, setting the stage for the weekend in the bigs. Pretty soon, DRS, if the finals in both sports in the NBA with Game 4 tonight and Game 4 tomorrow in Edmonton seem to follow the track of pretty short series, soon this is going to be just a baseball show on the early line. Now we go to LA, the third and final game of a midweek set between the Rangers and the Dodgers to round out the rubber match. The Dodgers victorious in game one, plating 15 runs. Corey Seager and the Rangers respond in game two. And in game three, the Southern California kid, Michael Lorenzen, absolutely deals for Texas. They knock off LA and win the finale 3-1 as a pretty hefty underdog. LA was booked as a -190 money line favorite.
That's why we couldn't figure out the pitching matchup yesterday for the Dodgers, because it looks like Grove opened up, then Yarbrough, then Ramirez. We thought maybe Ramirez would open, hand it off to Grove, and didn't even know Yarbrough was getting a start early in the day or any extended relief at this point. But that's a good win for the Rangers, 3-1, because we talked about yesterday how crazy Corey Seager's statistics are. And you look in that lineup like, oh, Well, Corey Seager didn't even play, and they still won in Los Angeles 3-1. That's pretty good. Now, from an RBI perspective, I actually picked two guys out. It was Teoscar Hernandez and also Will Smith. Will Smith didn't start, got my money back. Teoscar Hernandez, though, 0-3 in the middle of that lineup. Shohei Ohtani, 0-4. Mookie Betts, 1-4. Freddie Freeman, 1-4. No damage done because of a very good pitching performance by Lorenzen here. That's a shocking upset to me, even though we technically didn't have a pedigree pitcher on the mound for the Los Angeles Dodgers. 42-28 for the Dodgers. And maybe, again, I don't know. It's just the same thing we talk about over and over, Ben, in the AL West. Somebody want to sort of play around and say, hey, Mariners, you just can't run away with this thing. Maybe it's the Rangers here, but they need that full gas lineup. Well, they'll take a victory on the road against the Dodgers, that's for sure.
Yeah, they certainly will. Michael Lorenzen from my neck of the woods over in Anaheim, and he deals yesterday, only allowing one earned run to a very stout Dodgers lineup. Wyatt Langford, the rookie for the Rangers, out of the University of Florida. Two ribbies yesterday to propel Texas. The first win in a series for the Rangers in Los Angeles against the Dodgers since 1999. 25 years ago. They don't face off all that much in Los Angeles, but still notable to say the least. Wyatt Langford's Florida Gators, where he was last year in the championship series in Omaha, in action in the Omaha 8 at the CWS as well. Rubber match as well yesterday at the Trop in Tampa. The Cubbies actually a slight favorite on the road with Justin Steele getting the start. Both pitchers good. But a similar story for Chicago, Donnie. Up early in a game, by the time you reach the final three innings, things go south for the Cubs. The Rays score all three runs that they did in the seventh inning to come from behind and win 3-2 and take the rubber match.
Yeah, I thought Steele was the better pitcher on the mound heading into that game, and he was phenomenal. Six innings pitched on the road, three hits, zero earned runs, left that game with the lead. And then you take a look at Bradley, who I thought the Cubs would be able to get to. He was really good, Ben. Seven innings pitched, by the way, zero earned runs, but he did give up two total runs, but just not earned, and 11 strikeouts in that game. So maybe that young fireballer start coming into his own, but that's a tough one. If you have the Cubs and you thought you had the better pitcher, sometimes those leads are going to be blown by the bullpen, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. Tough loss for the Cubs, but again, both of these teams, 33-36, not doing much damage either side here.
No. DRS, saw this stat yesterday, so now the Cubs 33-36, but entered yesterday 33-35. If Major League Baseball games were only seven innings as of yesterday, the Cubs would be 49-19. They just cannot hold a lead. Another team that cannot hold a lead, it seems, the New York Mets, but they can come from behind. The Mets playing better baseball. JD Martinez, a walk-off two-run home run yesterday at Citi for the Amazons in the home half of the ninth. And a lot of runs scored yesterday in downtown Phoenix. 11 of them from the Arizona Diamondbacks, including two home runs to start things off for Christian Walker and Arizona. Four ribbies in the game, 11-1, the victory for the Diamondbacks over the Angels.
Yeah, how about the middle of that lineup? Jock Peterson and Christian Walker, nine combined RBIs and combining for three home runs. That's plenty enough here at that point, putting up an 11 spot. And also keep in mind, not a great offensive output for the Angels because they are struggling on the mound. I think they're going to struggle on the mound again tonight, maybe a total in perspective tonight when they go on the road and take on the Giants. So something to keep an eye on for later in the show.
All three of those games we just recapped in this segment. Yesterday was the third and final game of their midweek set. All rubber matches. Texas wins the series. The Rays win the series. The Diamondbacks edge out the Angels in that set as well. Will the Celtics win the series in only four games in an NBA championship tonight? Talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Is it done tonight in Dallas? Will championship number 18 be headed back to Boston? The Celtics and the Mavericks in game number 4 of the 2024 NBA Finals? Or might we extend the series at least until the next time we speak, Donnie Wrightside? That would be on Monday night for game number 5 back in Beantown. Here's where it stands entering this fourth game of the NBA championship set. unlike when we spoke yesterday with Dallas, an ever so slight favorite to finally win a game in the NBA Finals. The line has flipped past zero, now in favor of the Seas. It's a very short number in favor of Boston, just 1 point on the spread, minus 112, that live and updated number on the FanDuel Sportsbook. That shows 14 cents of distinction. Now it is only 8 pennies of difference between the Boston Celtics and the Dallas Mavericks. Do you put any stock in the idea, Donnie, that the Celtics were an underdog in game three, opened as a dog for game four, at least a small idea that Dallas would not be swept, and yet Boston on game day Friday morning for game number four is now the favorite?
I'm not surprised at all, because you had to figure, you know, sometimes baking into that line, a lot of public money going to move around on the Dallas Mavericks, figuring that is a must-win game, and it really was. We said it many times here. If you go down 3-0 or 0-3 in the series, can you still come back? Mathematically, yes, you can. Has anybody ever done in the NBA? No, they haven't. The series is over at that point. And also, we were worried about, okay, first two games, a guy that made a direct impact on the court, on his home court, was Kristaps Porzingis. He wouldn't be available for game number three. How would that reaction happen? And we also knew that you were probably going to get the best out of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving because the season was on the line. Luka gave you an interesting effort, which gave you a lot of scoring, some rebounds and assists, but fouling out early didn't help them. Kyrie Irving was sensational in that basketball game, and they still lost. So if you are the odds maker and or the betting public, you're looking at this going, well, we know Dallas can't win. Is pride on the line? Is that enough to bet at this point? Or the Boston Celtics can just smell that championship and they're not going to let it get away. You took three good punches from the Mavericks, and every time you came away with a victory. I don't see how this is going to be any different. And I agree with the FanDuel Sportsbook, Ben, that minus one for the Boston Celtics, that's appropriate.
Yeah. The what-if game you could play all day long. What if Luka Doncic does not foul out due to frustration? What if Luka Doncic is there for the final 4 minutes of regulation? Would the Mavericks' comeback effort, being down by as many as 21 early in the fourth quarter, have been different? It's the what-if game. It did not happen. Boston has a 3-0 lead in the 2024 NBA Finals, and the Celtics still opened up a 21-point lead in the fourth quarter of a must-win, can't-lose game on Dallas's home floor in game number three. Donnie, I think it's pretty easy to look at the opening two games of this set and simply say what the difference had to be for the Mavs returning back home to the Lone Star State. Kyrie Irving and the rest of the supporting staff, but mainly Kyrie, had to be better to help out Luka Doncic to win a game in this series, although we didn't really expect, seeing the first two games inside TD Garden, that Dallas could actually contend with Boston at this point to come all the way back in win the NBA title. If you're the Mavericks and you see game three play out the way it did, what is that redeeming quality that you hope to change tonight? Is it just your motivation? Is it just being on the brink of elimination? Is there anything more that we can quantify in terms of actual stats or X's and O's that changes your perception on the Mavericks?
Not really, but also, like, we had the formula in game number three. It was laid out beautifully by the Dallas Mavericks. Get Kyrie involved early and get him going. Checkmate. Get an early lead to bring that crowd into the game. Checkmate here. And by the end of the first quarter, all of that momentum went away because it was only a 1-point lead for the Dallas Mavericks. And you saw the way they came out in the third quarter. It was clear that the Boston Celtics were ready to sort of wrap this series up early. But if you're looking for this, again, entering this game first quarter, double-digit lead by the Mavericks. Oops, we saw this play out before, but you still have to do that. It can't be like, well, they got a 10-point lead in the last game, Ben, early. Maybe they go down 10. They can chase down the Celtics. You know that's not a recipe for success. The better the start, the better the chance of victory. We understand that. But I guess it's just so simple as, Kyrie, I need that same effort from you early and to be attacking at the rim, but also at the same time, Luka, just focus on the game. Let the game come to you. Don't worry about the referees. Don't try to take charges 30 feet from the basket and have a challenge and lose that challenge and end up fouling out. Just give me what you have, because there's a reason why the Boston Celtics, Ben, knowing that they're going to win a championship, aren't 14.5-point favorites tonight, because why should Dallas even play? Nobody comes back from 0-3. We get that here. Right. I need that same performance in the first quarter, but I need a 6 or 7-point lead at the end of one. Don't just let it slip away. It's hard to say what you need the Mavericks to do, because quite frankly, they did exactly what they needed to do in the last game, and they still lost.
And I think that's the tough pill to swallow for the Mavericks right now. The formula, the recipe was there. Get off to a great start. Okay, 25-12, midway through the opening quarter. Boston rallies all the way through the final 6 minutes of that first quarter. 1 point difference at the end of that. 1 point difference at the halftime break. And then the Celtics took the third quarter by storm. Okay, we need Kyrie Irving to score at least 20, probably 25. Hey, how about 30? How about the game's leading scorer with 35? And yet they still lose by 7 as a 3-point home favorite. That's the difficult dynamic for Dallas entering game number 4 tonight. And one of the narratives entering this series, Donnie, was the idea that could the Mavericks be the first team to remain fully healthy and truly test the Celtics on this run to the NBA championship and potentially NBA title number 18? And the idea was Dallas would be that team. Maybe it's just been Boston all along, the preseason co-favorites to win an NBA championship, the short solo favorites midway through the NBA regular season, an odds-on favorite to win the NBA championship in round number 1 of this NBA postseason. And now we see the Celtics with a chance not only for the most NBA titles in NBA history tonight if they win number 18, but a historic postseason to boot to get championship number 18. This would be just the 10th sweep in NBA Finals history, the third in this millennium. It would be a 16-2 playoff record overall with a victory in only 8 games. That would be the fifth best all-time playoff performance based on overall win percentage. And tonight is game number 100 this season for the Celtics. They would win 80 of them with a victory over Dallas. Regular season record, playoff record, 11th best in the history of the association based on overall win percentage. It could be a historic cap to a historic NBA championship for Boston.
And sometimes you need some breaks along the way. They didn't even face any adversity here, Ben, in the Eastern Conference playoffs, going through teams that were injured and certainly inferior at the same time. Then you thought, uh-oh, what was that measuring stick we were going to use? Like, yeah, they really dug down deep, the Boston Celtics, to come back from a 2-1 deficit in the Eastern Conference finals. Now they're in the finals. We didn't get that. We were also talking about which team was going to show up for the Celtics, when quite frankly, we were trying to say, who was there in round 1, 2, and 3? Is that the team we're going to see in the finals? And they didn't play anybody, so how's that going to be when they face a real team in the Dallas Mavericks? Now we're finding themselves about to sweep the Dallas Mavericks in the NBA Finals. And also it's like, hey, Dallas got really lucky to get there. No, Dallas was a really, really good basketball team. Second half of the NBA season and in the playoffs here. Yep. This is a monumental run for the Celtics. And again, even though I'm not a fan of them, at least we're not going to get that, well, everybody was injured in the Eastern Conference and they got lucky in the finals. Like, no, you can say that about the Eastern Conference playoffs, but you still have to win those games. The fact that they sweep the Dallas Mavericks, and don't give me that, well, Luka's getting injections here. Luka's dropping 30 and 10 every single night, so I'm not worried about that. But that vantage point of what were we going to get in the finals if they sweep that, man, what a great season for the Boston Celtics if they pull that off tonight.
Minus 8,000. Now the updated number for the Celtics to win NBA championship number 18. It is only a matter of time. It might not be a 4-game sweep tonight, but it is only a matter of time. Don't believe me? How about 156 all-time NBA playoff series in a best-of-7 round where a team has held a 3-0 series advantage? All 156, the team that was up 3-0 won the series. This is number 157 between the Celtics and the Mavericks. More for Game 4 next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number 4 of the 2024 NBA Finals tonight in Dallas. Is this the last game we will see of the 2023-24 NBA season? The odds makers think so, if even ever so slightly. Boston, a now 1-point favorite for game number 4, minus 112 on the money line, minus 104 on the other side for the Mavericks. We're talking 8 cents with the updated numbers on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but the Celtics are favored on the road. They were an underdog, winning outright in game number 3, 106-99. And what an effort it was out of the Jays in that third game. Jason Tatum, Boston's leading scorer. He had 31. Jaylen Brown, also 30 points. 38-8 and a plus-minus of plus 13 to pace all of the five starters for the Celtics, which is made maybe the only interesting thing left in this NBA championship set. The race for the hardware, not the Larry O'Brien trophy, but the NBA Finals MVP trophy, minus 340. Jaylen Brown, now the hefty odds-on favorite, when, Donnie, it was Jason Tatum who entered game number three at plus 140 as the favorite, 15 cents in front of Brown.
Yeah, by the way, I'm taking Jason Tatum at this point because there is no discrepancy that's so crazy. Like, well, Donnie, I mean, look, Jaylen Brown, three straight games in the finals, a triple-double, and Jason Tatum hasn't played all that well. If you want to say they're both playing at the top of their game, maybe you can't make that argument, but where's the argument for being that big of a favorite over Jason Tatum? And we joked about it yesterday, it's just the hate, but no, sports books don't run on hate. Like, oh yeah, we're just going to put this guy because we don't like Jason Tatum. That's nonsense at this point. Now, everything that I know about these two is even though they're great players on the same team and the common goal is, we're friends, we want to win a championship, but these guys are competitive between each other. You saw the Eastern Conference Finals. Jaylen Brown got that MVP. So I'm like, okay, that was an interesting mild upset there. In the finals, it's probably going to be Tatum if it's close. These two guys are very close in their statistics over the first three games, and it looks like it's a runaway for Brown. So I joke like, you know, Brown's going to go in for an open dunk and Jason Tatum's going to block him at the rim saying, this is going to be my MVP award. But the one thing I do know about Jason Tatum, he's not going to be shy in this game. It's not going to be, and again, reverberation around the locker room. Hey, by the way, check the FanDuel Sportsbook, guys. Looks like a heavy favorite for Brown. Ah, congratulations, you won this. They're competitive here. I expect 25-plus shots taken from Jason Tatum tonight, and I would take the plus money on Tatum because it is going to come down to who's the better player in game number four if they close it out. I believe that. I don't think this price should be that high. I really don't.
Listen, this core in Boston is defined by these two guys. Jaylen Brown, first-round pick, number three overall in 2016. First-round pick, number three overall in 2017 for Jason Tatum. Neither selected by the Celtics, but their rights were traded on draft night to Boston. So both of these guys have only ever played inside TD Garden in Beantown. This is the core that is defined by winning an NBA championship. So when that happens and the Celtics win number 18, who takes home the hardware as the NBA Finals MVP? And this could very likely be the final game of the NBA Finals of this series. So it makes the props a little bit more intriguing in this head-to-head matchup between teammates. 27.5, the points prop for Jason Tatum, the higher of the two numbers. Jaylen Brown now at 24.5. Tatum was terrible in the first two games, 6 of 16 from the floor in game one, 6 of 22 from the field in game number two. Jaylen Brown was steady, Boston's leading scorer in game one, finishing with 22, also had 20 in game two, but he wasn't lighting the world on fire. And we had said, Donnie, that if you gave out a game one MVP, it was probably Kristaps Porzingis. If you came out of a game two MVP for Boston, it was probably Drew Holiday. So who wins the MVP of the NBA Finals if this is the last game could be decided in the head-to-head matchup between the Jays tonight?
Yes, and it will be. That's what's so intriguing about why it's running away. I still think it should be plus 140, plus 140, maybe even an even matchup between those two, because what is going to be the deciding force and what are they going to be voting on? Because what happens if Jason Tatum drops 35 points tonight and Jaylen Brown drops 30? And it's like, okay, well, what about the rebounds? Well, Tatum had a little bit more rebounds and they were similar in assists. Why would it be going to Jaylen Brown overwhelmingly? And also when we take a look at, typically it's the best player on the team that wins it. And I know it's only supposed to be the finals, which is what you're judging it on, but I know sometimes that regular season and postseason before the NBA Finals does leak in here. That's why it was surprising that Jaylen Brown got the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, and maybe it would just roll back to Jason Tatum. But it would be interesting if it's Brown and then Brown again, fresh off of a snub from all those NBA teams that he missed out on here over the summer and was angry about doing that. And even more so, like usually it's like, hey, who's going to win the series? I think it's a formality that we understand. The Boston Celtics will do that. The most intriguing market, you're right now, is the MVP of the finals because of those price points and those numbers that are coming back. And also what happens tonight, Ben, What happens if we get 27 points out of Drew Holiday here? It's still up in the air because we're not dealing with seven games. It's like the cream is going to rise to the top. It's only four games here where if you already had a good game in the first four and then you cap it off in game number four, that'll be interesting to see. I can't wait to watch this play out. It's a great market.
There's only four guys listed with an NBA Finals MVP price. The two Jays, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Luka Doncic, whose number reflects if the Dallas Mavericks can come back from an 0-3 hole and win the NBA championship, and Drew Holiday at 65-1. What if Drew Holiday goes off 4:30 tonight? Is Boston's leading scorer in two of the four games, half of the NBA championship series? Would he be in consideration? I will say, if Drew Holiday is the best Boston player tonight, but Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are both pretty good, probably goes to Jaylen Brown. Jason Tatum has to be better than Jaylen Brown tonight to win that hardware. They combined for 61 points in game three. Only Derek White scored in double figures. He was the only other Celtics player to reach double figures. He hit four triples. He has been great from three. His points prop tonight, 15.5. For the Boston Celtics. And again, we have talked about the recipe, the formula for Dallas. It was Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, that dynamic Dallas duo, outscoring Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They did, and Luka missed the final 4 minutes of regulation. They had 62 combined as we look at the props for the Mavericks tonight.
Yeah, no, it's one to keep an eye on. Also, how about the biggest prop overall? Well, basically, it was going to be who's going to win this game and who is actually going to win the MVP. But at the same time, 7 out of 10 tickets here coming in on the Boston Celtics tonight. The public has stated this series is over, Ben. That's what they're saying to us.
It is over. We'll look at another series that might be over with a championship at stake in the Stanley Cup Final next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Weird. Live right here on this Friday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. We just looked at game number four, a preview and a breakdown of the 2024 NBA Finals. Is it over tonight in Dallas? If we had a show tomorrow, we'd probably ask the same question ahead of game four in Edmonton of the 2024 Stanley Cup Final between the Oilers and the Panthers. Listen, Florida was the series favorite before things got started. Boston was the series favorite in the NBA Finals before things got started. So maybe it's not overly shocking that both of those teams are up 3-0. But here in the Stanley Cup Final, it was supposed to be much more competitive. Last night in game number three, Edmonton back home in Alberta at Rogers Place. It was the Panthers and Sam Reinhart scoring the first goal of the game in the first period. Edmonton did even it up in the second, only for the Panthers to score the final three goals of that period, including Sasha Barkov that did play last night and had a goal and an assist. Edmonton made it interesting in the third and final period, but ultimately Sergei Bobrovsky has just been too much for Edmonton to get past. He makes 32 saves last night on 35 shots as the Panthers now hold a commanding 3-0 series advantage with the 4-3 victory last night as a road underdog in Edmonton.
Look, you need your stars to step up. Just take a look at the game last night and who scored and who assisted there for Florida. Goal scorers, Tarasenko, Reinhart, Bennett, and Barkov. You take a look at Edmonton, you're like, oh, it's got to be McDavid. It's got to be Draisaitl, Hyman. No. Fogeli, Broberg, and McLeod. They could be like a law firm right there that I never even heard of here stepping up and scoring for Edmonton. Like, we need the big guns here to actually provide some entertainment for the Edmonton Oilers. And what I mean by entertainment, at least get us to a game number five. So we'll see if they can come up. Now, at least you had a couple points there for McDavid last night, and rightfully so. But we just haven't seen the big guns play all that well. And that's a credit to the Florida Panthers' top checking line, keeping them in bounds here.
This was supposed to be Connor McDavid's coronation, his first Stanley Cup final appearance, the next chosen one or great one, if you will, in Edmonton that wears 97 and not 99. He has had multiple assists. He had two last night and assisted the only goal for the Oilers in game two in Sunrise, but has not tickled the twine just yet. So Florida entered game three, a minus 490 series favorite. Florida is now a minus 21. 2100 series favorite to win their first Stanley Cup in franchise history. In the Stanley Cup final for the third time ever as an organization, for the second consecutive year, one win away from denying Canada yet another Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and it looks like it's probably going to only go four games. Now, it is a slight little advantage here for the Edmonton Oilers at a minus 122 price on their home ice. And theoretically, they should win at least one of those two games at home. In hockey, you know, hey, your goalie plays a little bit better. Your team steps up. It's tough to sweep teams, specifically in finals. Now, we're getting that in the NBA as well. But just focusing on the series, what's the perfect scenario again? You got to get out early and you got to score the first goal. I understand it didn't work in game number two, but the recipe for success is not the get behind. I'm pretty sure like most of the standard bears here in the playoffs is like, hey, what's the best way to win a game? Well, 72% of the time when you don't score first, you win. No, you always hear the opposite statistic, Ben. Team that scores first typically is the team that's going to win that game. Yeah. That's all you need to see out of Edmonton at this point. Maybe the only thing that can save the Edmonton Oilers, hear me out on this, Ben. Phone call goes into Wayne Gretzky. Wayne, we're going to need a little help from you here. We're going to take down that 99 out of the rafters. We're going to change in number 97 for 99 for McDavid and see if we can catch that lightning in a bottle. It might be the only thing we can do, Ben. It might be the only thing.
Listen, I've seen Gretzky walk around. The knee still looks spry. I think he could get out there, the great one. Now, as we look at the rest of the Stanley Cup final, four games is the shortest in the total duration and, of course, in the correct score. It's a plus 102 price. What is that? Florida's money line number four, game number four, tomorrow night at Rogers Place. The last Stanley Cup final sweep that we saw was in 1999. The last time that both the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final in the same season ended in four-game sweeps, that was 1995. We might be seeing history for the first time in nearly three decades. However, unlike the NBA, when a team has held a 3-0 series lead and we have never seen a comeback, it has happened four times in Stanley Cup postseason history, including once in the Stanley Cup final. Let's travel back to 1942 when the Toronto Maple Leafs were down 0-3 against the Detroit Red Wings and came back to win it in the six. Will it happen this time around up in the Great White North? What do you think, Donnie?
By the way, if I'm an owner of the team, I'm forcing my teams to lose here in game number four. Get the home gate in game number five. Buy another house. Buy another house.
Hey, plus 220. That's the number. Hour two next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.